Good evening, everybody. Today is Tuesday, March 28th, 2023. Time now is 5:16. I'll go ahead and call this meeting to order, and we'll start off with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 1B, adoption of the agenda. Under the consent agenda, action item E.
D.
D. Okay.
Oh, action consent is letter D, sorry.
Consent agenda, letter D, add Lupita Martin's resignation. And under action item E, we're going to add the approval to apply for the Governor's Summer Enrichment Grant to be used for a kindergarten jump start for any incoming kindergartners. This grant will cover a teacher, para, food and food service, as well as supplies, and will be 4 weeks long and 4.5 hours a day. The para pay will be similar, $105.20 per day, and the teacher will be $140 per day. With that, I would like to make a motion to adopt the agenda.
I second the motion.
Aye.
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 Number two, call to the public. Moving on to three, consent agenda. A, approval of the minutes of the regular board meeting, February 7th, 2023. B, presentation of the February financial report, and C, approval of the February vouchers.
Yes, good evening. If you see the front sheet summary page, nothing is actually large or new. The two payrolls are quite similar in payout for those two pays in February. And the expenses, there's nothing actually large, and they're just normal invoices that we have, as most places do have. And if you look through any of the vouchers, if there's any questions, I'll be here to answer them.
Anything significant that you want to mention?
No, everything, there was no health insurance generated it during any one of these months. Nothing, I will be paying the high school tuition this month, so nothing else. Everything is pretty quiet and normal through February.
Okay. Mm.
Moving on to D, approve the resignations of teachers Ronnie Balasabas, middle school social studies, and Christine
Gunan,
special education teacher for the 2023-2024 school year, and post open positions as they come up in the future. Oh, and Ms. Martin, correct.
I'm good.
So yeah, I would like to add thank you for those teachers for being here and being part of the NACO Elementary School District. I know one of them in particular was here many, many years. So I wish you the best of luck, along with the other two teachers. Wish you guys the best of luck. And I know you guys are going to continue to do good things in your future endeavors.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, moving on to E. Approval of Mike Hernandez, track coach, and Oscar Cordova as the baseball coach for the 2023 spring season. F. Approval of nurse position through grant with ASAP?
Yeah, ASAP.
ASAP?
Yeah.
Okay. For the 2023-2024 school year.
And just renewal.
Yeah, it's just renewing. We keep the same. Everything set.
Okay. Anything?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Moving on to G. Approve the sale of the Suburban and the Toyota Corolla for $3,600 each.
Yay. Yeah. That was second time we tried to auction, and we were able to move both of them. So I didn't put the names on there because I couldn't remember one of them. I knew, but the other one I didn't, so I didn't want to put one name on not the other, but both of them were sold, and we got certified checks for both.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the titles are transferred already. So.
Yep, the titles are transferred already, so we put in the account.
One of the things we did mention is that we'll need to, when we buy a vehicle and we paint the NACO school on it, the hard part is getting NACO school off. Because I noticed one of my staff told me this morning or yesterday that she sees the NACO school vehicle driving by. But it was painted different. When they're painted on, it's a little, because you can't just go and use paint remover. So it's just something that, I mean, when you buy a school vehicle, you don't plan on when you're going to get rid of it. So.
H, approve trading the Toyota Camry at Jones Ford in either Buckeye or Casa Grande. They are a Mojave contract vendor and approved for school purchases with the discount granted the state and all members. Peoria Ford is also partnered, but Jones has multiple locations and a better selection as well as better prices.
We've looked at everything online, and we approved to buy a vehicle, gosh, 2 years ago. But we had all those vehicles that we didn't want to have a whole lot out there. And so, Jones has some better deals, and we're trying to look at four or five passengers and something that's going to get, the target I've been looking at is 25 to 30 miles to the gallon. If we could get more, that'd be great, but at least in that 25 to 30 mile range. So we've looked at, I don't know, quite a few vehicles that they've got. Peoria Ford just really didn't have much, and
Do you know who's going to be attending or taking that camera?
Well, we don't know yet. What we're looking at is trying to figure out who's going to. Bobby and I go that way, so one of us could. If we do have some different meetings up there, and
because my thinking is, who's going to be making the choice of what vehicle?
Oh, we'll make that choice, and then we'll send everything up with a check, and then swap it out. So it'll all be done, and hopefully we'll have the paperwork pretty much done before we even go up there.
So whoever's going up there will be pretty much just
trading
in and
picking it
up. Picking
it up. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So who's we?
Well, that's just kind of looking at the vehicles and trying to find the best price we can. Right now, been looking at used vehicles, but trying to keep the mileage between 15 and 25,000.
But who's helping you make the decision?
Oh, I'm just trying to find them, and then I figured we could look at them.
Oh.
I'm just trying to find some options that they have. I don't know. I've looked at quite a few, and I know that that Kristen and Donna have had that line, so they can look at them. But Jones Ford's online, anybody can look at it. And there's a pretty decent choice. It just, you gotta, kind of wait. Some of the prices have been going down, so I don't think there's any rush to get that taken care of.
Are you looking for like a sedan or an SUV type?
You know, I think we should be open to what we can find, but I think something that will allow three or four people, like if we send four people to the OLS conference, that they could drive that vehicle and each fit a, you know, I mean, they don't have to bring a huge suitcase,
yeah,
but, I mean,
yeah,
a bag with them and fit them in there. So that would be the hope. So I don't know. If you find a decent, you know, like four or five passenger, I don't know, I'll just like Malibu or Focus or something like that, or not Focus, but Fusion or something.
But nothing big. Nothing
No.
Okay.
We need to try to be a little economical with the price, and we don't. I think the problem is when you get it too big. Now there's a temptation that we're going to send that and the white bus, and we're going to do that for games. And I think once we have more than 14 kids going to the game, plus the driver or the coach, we need to take a big bus. So I just as soon avoid that temptation for somebody, because I really think that Suburban got, you know, kind of a little beat up and used, well used. So
I think you discussed doing something more practical, too, instead of having something that was gas economical as far as,
right,
like 28 to 30 miles an hour a gallon.
Yeah, if we were able to get something with even better than 30, that'd be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And we really don't use it that much. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's not like it would, you know, I mean, look at all our vehicles. They don't have that many miles for as old as they are, so.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to I, approve the 301 first payment to all teachers for $1,500 and to all paraprofessionals and classroom personnel for $1,000.
There are 11 paraprofessionals and the two tech staff that qualify under that classroom personnel.
11 of paraprofessionals?
There are 11 between the two categories.
Between
yes.
Two. Okay.
And then all the teachers.
J, approve the resignation of Donna Horton, business manager, effective June 30th, 2023.
I've been here, been through a couple of superintendents here. So.
Thank you for everything, Ms. Donna. Best of luck.
I've enjoyed it.
I know that, it's been a roller coaster ride.
You know, but I enjoyed the challenging.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you were here with us.
Thank
and
you.
Being here at every single board meeting, and I know it's been tough,
mm-hmm,
but good luck to you.
He'll
still owes me too, so
yeah.
Just
so he'll differ with you about every board meeting, but yeah.
When she goes to Indianapolis to see her grandkids. She misses one every year. So.
I told Macklin that getting a good business manager is probably harder than finding a good superintendent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
You've been on the ride with this for sure. Mm-hmm. Good job.
Okay. Approve the calendar changes to add school Monday through Friday, May 15th to 19th, and on Monday, May 22nd, and Tuesday, May 23rd.
Right. So, with that, and the fact that that's my mistake, and that's not an act of God or an emergency or an earthquake or anything like that, I spoke with the attorney and I said, "What can we do? What should we do so that we're fair to our employees?" And the recommendation that the attorney made was, look at your substitute pays, what you pay, you know, your summer school and different things, because you're adding money on top of a salary. And so what I would recommend is that we look at it. And the Monday the 15th was our teacher checkout day. And so the day I had the meeting with the staff, I told them that those that would like may check out on Tuesday the 23rd. And if anybody wants to come in on Wednesday and check out, they certainly can. But there would be, Monday was already a paid day, so it would be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday.
You don't have a calendar?
No, I just put the dates on there.
Oh, so we didn't do a new calendar with the changes?
We can't do the calendar until the board approves it. And
right.
Then we'll do the calendar.
Well,
and
we
then
don't have a calendar to approve then. Just
the dates.
Okay.
So that once the board approves it, then Mr. Rodriguez and I can go. And we went in this morning, and Barry stipulates very, you know, clearly that you need to have board approval before you can go in to make the changes. So,
mm-hmm.
So that Tuesday we would address the other things later on, like summer school and things. So,
right. So I'm confused because if we like the days, the teachers have been paid through that day, but if we didn't have the 180 days, wouldn't we? When they still have days
right,
to fill
yes.
for the 180
to make the 180, yes. But right. here's the way it goes with the law. You probably could make that argument. She said you could make that argument, but I think the biggest thing to me is that we're fair to
right.
the people. It's not their fault that I can't count and do it right. So it is not an act of God. It's not an earthquake. It's not a hurricane or anything like that. It was a mistake. It's done. We need to correct it. And in order to do that, I think you try to come up. She said she just felt like coming up with a set amount for each person was the fairest, because she said you're going to have ratings of who gets whatever hourly or daily wage. She said only the people that work with kids in the classrooms, they would be the ones coming back after the 15th. If there's a teacher and they're generally not in the classrooms, they wouldn't come back. She said that, you know, that's how, you know. And if you got, say, two first grades and one first grade teacher can't be there, for whatever, she said maybe you'll have kids that are going to be on their summer vacation or whatever, and figure out how you can combine it to complete the rest of the year. I did reach out to the University of Arizona and see about bringing in their science group that we had come in last year, and so trying to target those days and some different things like that to try to make it a little more than just sitting in a classroom.
So the pairs are hourly.
Pairs are hourly.
Right.
Pairs are always hourly. So, you know, when they work a shorter day, they lose hours. When they work a longer day, they, you know, like conferences and they do translations and stuff, those that can, they work longer. So that's kind of a given. She said she would have the staff there that you needed to have and the staff that deal with the children. And they're in the rooms. And she said anybody who's not that person, then she probably would eliminate for those 6 days.
Right.
That was her recommendation. So.
Yeah. So how did the staff feel about all of that?
Well, I'm trying to think if it was Tuesday or Wednesday last week we talked about it. I talked about it in a board meeting, in a meeting with the staff. You know, some there's a couple that have things going on. I know one of our teachers has some medical things going on that second week. And I think we just have to be flexible and work with them and get through that. You know, I'm sure everybody's not overjoyed, but I think we're getting out 2 days later than we did last year, ultimately, by the way it worked out.
2 days later, yeah. Well, and I wish this could have been avoided, and I think had we addressed this, like, earlier on when you and I were talking about it, we would not have to do that, you know. I was hoping we just could rectify the calendar without being here doing this.
Well, we would have had to do this to rectify it.
Right.
Anyway,
yeah. But I mean,
yeah,
what's
right.
ensued
yes.
in the process, you know.
Would have been much better if we would have done it in November or October before we
right.
had different it, breaks. And
yeah.
So.
You know. And we did the same thing last year. So.
Whatever. Some different things that you could do.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So. But.
Thanks, Mike.
We're humans. We make mistakes.
And yeah, but that's what I want you to understand as I came down.
It's not just the superintendent's fault. It's also the governing board, because we are the ones that voted on that calendar.
We did.
We approved it.
We were complicit with it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just want to make that clear.
But did you notice it? Did you?
No. Did you?
I did. That's why I came down and talked to him.
At that time.
I questioned it. I came down and talked to him because I questioned it. I knew something wasn't right, and that's what initiated all this, because I came and talked to him.
When was that?
That was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Right.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I was here rectifying it.
Okay, don't get confrontational with me. I came down and spoke to Tim and addressed it because I said that something I'd noticed. We'd never been out of school that early. That's the only reason that I brought it up. And I thought it was a red flag.
Had we done anything that day, we still probably would still be here doing it. Right?
If we what?
Had we been able to do anything that day, we'd still be here today taking care of this. Because 2 weeks ago, we didn't have a change. We wouldn't have changed anything we're doing right now. Right?
But I thought it would be a lot
more... Right, yes. I agree.
Simplified. By all means.
I agree.
And, right.
Do you have anything?
I don't.
All right, moving on. To approve the return to learning plan to be submitted to the state of Arizona twice this school year. This will be the second approval of the 2023-2024 school year. There were no changes to the plan, but we outlined that we no longer offer meals to the community.
That was the only real change. We just changed the wording because there's no community meals. And that we changed this fall. And if we're lucky, you will only have to do this maybe in September again.
But I thought that change was as of this new school year.
The new school year, yeah, because the last...
I mean, not this one, but the what, like July. 2022-23.
Yeah, but we didn't do a report. We didn't do this report until September.
Okay.
And then now again in March.
Okay.
Thank you. I also did change the wording. If you look on the very first page under the middle column where it says, do you have a policy about universal masks? And I said, no, we still have a mask recommendation, but, you know, it's just a recommendation. Mm-hmm. So that was the big thing.
But that's all you can do, right? You can't...
You can only recommend.
You can't...
Okay. And even in a... Even when we had the great outbreak with the flu and what's that three-letter one with RSV and COVID, when we had that going around and it was very high levels, we could still only recommend. So.
All right. Moving on to M. Approve the resignation of Tim Macklin, superintendent slash principal, effective June 30th, 2023.
I just want to say this is not what I chose. Tim and I have been communicating quite a bit, trying to find some type of resolution. And this is not, I didn't want to be in this place, you know.
Well, and Don, you know, conversations that we've had.
Right.
The reason I am is it's totally about my family and my mother-in-law and my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as I said for years, my goal and what I really wanted to do was retire. But I got married, for better or worse, and she needs help. And so, being able to be closer, being able to have an extra day to take to help her with taking over that care, is right now is very important. So
I understand that, but I feel like I've been getting thrown under the bus too on this. I've had numerous phone calls pertaining to this, and I don't want to be in this position at all.
You actually, what we've talked about it. It's this was something that was I mentioned to you guys in February, and I was straightforward with it. I try to be, but
Lisa?
I can say thank you for coming. I know when you came in, it was a rough, bumpy road. And thank you for everything you've done. And hopefully everything that you have planned for the summer gets done the way that...
Yeah, hopefully we get it going.
Hopefully it will get done. So
I still remember the day Don came in after 2 weeks and said, didn't want to tell you before you got here, but we had a bunch of people murdered right before you came.
That's true.
So, yeah. You don't get that at every job.
So,
Mr. Macklin,
I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for all that you have done for our school. When you first got here from Minnesota, right, I thought to myself, what is a Minnesota principal going to do here in a town, small rural town of Naco, right? And I questioned, you know, is this superintendent really going to be a good person for our school? And you proved me wrong.
I remember that first board meeting, and I told you I'm the slowest typer, but if you guys want me to take the minutes, I will. I still do, and I'm actually a little better, but not very fast yet. So.
You have done a lot for the school.
Yeah.
So, with that, I will go ahead and move on to. No, there's one more thing. Well, it's under action items.
Under
action.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we need to vote on
okay.
The.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
Agenda. Consent agenda.
All right. I would like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I second that motion.
Aye.
Aye. Three ayes. Okay. Moving on to action items. A, report from me on superintendent evaluation and approval of the superintendent bonus. So I took the liberty of typing up a short letter about Mr. Macklin's evaluation, so I'll go ahead and read it off right now. On Tuesday, February 7th, 2023, the governing board for the Naco Elementary School District number 23 conducted the superintendent's Mr. Tim Macklin evaluation. This evaluation is for the period of January 2022 to December 2022. Since Mr. Macklin started with us at Naco School District, he has done several things in the best interest for the school. Mr. Macklin truly cares about the school district, teachers, staff, and most importantly, the students. Mr. Macklin is a great leader with a wealth of teaching experience, which he loves to share and is also approachable, slash open for new ideas. Mr. Macklin always strives to maintain informed about current state laws, current school finances, state-level ASBA requirements, and local happenings within the county. Within this last rating period, Mr. Macklin has been instrumental in bringing Naco Elementary School from a D-rated school to a C-rated school, which is great for a rural school in the state of Arizona. Mr. Macklin is constantly searching for ways to improve the school, which in the past year, he and the team in the office have laid the groundwork so we will have the school completely weatherized with new roofs, and is working to fix the drainage system around school and down by the fields and gymnasium area. They are in the process of getting bids on a new alarm system. We have been updated with new cameras, and new phones are coming this summer along with an intercom system. He and Mr. Rodriguez are working for a contract to improve our internet and bring affordable fiber optic internet for our school. And the process of remodeling the weatherization will also include doors, floors, and windows in our buildings. These are just some of many accomplishments Mr. Macklin and his team have done for the Naco Elementary School District as it relates to the school infrastructure. Mr. Macklin is also constantly looking for new, highly qualified and motivated staff members. Within the last rating period, Mr. Macklin has hired what he considers highly qualified staff who bring experience in areas where maybe we were lacking before their arrival. Mr. Macklin has secured a grant and an intergovernmental agreement with Cochise County to have a school resource officer for the second time and hopefully for several years to come. This is something that very few districts in Cochise County have. We are very fortunate to have one. Mr. Macklin secured a grant to have a school nurse in our district and hired a nurse a short time later. This is, again, something that not all rural schools in the state of Arizona have the opportunity to have. Most importantly, Mr. Macklin has hired new, highly motivated, and highly qualified teachers and staff which take part in our children's education by interacting with them in some way on a daily basis. He ensures the public is informed of what is happening at the school, whether it be by sending letters to parents, making phone calls to parents, posting the school board agendas at the school and at the post office, or making sure parents are informed by simply making contact with them during parent/teacher conferences. One example recently was making contact with parents about voting for a possible 4-day school week next year. Mr. Macklin always keeps the school board informed about everything relating to the school. Sometimes having to wake up early in the morning to read a long email, but it just shows how much time, effort, and pride he has for being the superintendent of NACO. Mr. Macklin received an excellent rating on his evaluation for the last rating period and qualifies for a bonus as specified in his contract. Mr. Macklin has submitted his letter of resignation due to personal reasons. However, Mr. Macklin is leaving NACO Elementary School District with his head held high as he accomplished remarkable achievements for the school in his short tenure with us. Mr. Macklin is leaving us with practically a new school which will last for many years to come. Mr. Macklin, on behalf of the NACO Elementary School District, Governing Board Number 23, it has been a pleasure working with you. Thank you for everything you have done, and we wish you the best in your future endeavors.
Can I add two things, Don? First of all, the ELL program that we brought in has had a huge impact. And you guys were willing to go out on the limb to spend the money to bring in people to do that. That was huge. Second thing is when we brought in our federal grants person, Ms. Trevino, this year, I would say she saved us about $500,000 or $600,000 with the ESSER grants and some other federal things. And so I'm glad that you have been willing to go out on a limb with me on a few occasions so that we're able to do some things that have paid off. So, and when I say, you know, when we talk about our team, you know, you guys don't really know Kristen King, but she's kind of like the Everetti Bunny and is all over the place and is kind of gabby. But she finds grants right and left. She's the one that found the COPS grant, and we were able to get that. You know Donna, and Tom Hudson does all of our testing, and she's a spitfire, and we don't always agree, but we've worked together since, I think, 2 weeks after I got here. Mr. Rodriguez does a great job with technology. He's picked up and really taken off from where we were and what we had going with Ms. Morgan. And he's got an assistant, Mr. Valdez, who's a keeper. And he's somebody that does just about everything. If we need anything done, if you need to know where anything is in this district, you ask Victor. He knows. And so when we have to do our inventories and whatever, we give Victor a sheet, and he just goes and finds everything. I mean, he's just way more than just a technology guy. So I think we have a good team here. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I really feel like we've had a good 4 years working together, and I thank you guys. And I've said that many times to each of you individually that I appreciate how well we work together. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And with that, I would like to make a motion to approve the superintendent evaluation and approval of the superintendent bonus.
I second the motion.
Aye.
Aye.
I'm not going to just say it because I wasn't involved in the evaluation.
You weren't?
I stood down on the evaluation, remember?
You did what?
I did not do the evaluation. I wasn't participating.
Yeah, you were.
I didn't fill it out.
You want to mark it as abstain?
I'm abstaining.
Okay. All right, moving on to action item B, So we got, on this last one, we got two ayes, one abstain. Okay. Action item B, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on approving the insurance plans and offerings for the 2023-2024 school year as voted on by the staff.
And I know you guys always want the staff's input first, so instead of coming to you and narrowing it down and then going to the staff, we went to the staff first. Met with the people that were working on the Friday of spring break, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of narrowed it down. Our goal was to find something that would fit into the budget where people could get free insurance. And so one of the stipulations is we can have three plans to offer our employees, but one of them must be a high deductible. Okay? So the best high deductible was the HDHCA, and everybody there that day agreed. So we put that on our list. It wasn't really a vote, but just so the staff knew and was able to balance it out on the sheets that we had with all of the, and I think everybody should have one of those. If you've got your glasses on, you can read the numbers. And you can see the differences between the value gold, value silver, and HDHPA, the high deductible plan. And then on the right side, I did the old-fashioned cut and paste with the copay gold, and then I left the prescription stuff on the bottom. So I tried to get everything on there. And it worked. The staff was able to go through. The vote ended up, when the staff voted, there were 18 votes. I think it was 18. Mm-hmm. For the value gold, there were 13 or 14 for copay gold, and there were 8 for value silver.
Wait, would you? I missed that. So 18
okay.
for the
18
value
for
gold.
Value gold.
Okay.
There were, I thought it was 14. It could have been 13. 13 or 14 for copay gold. And there were 8 for value silver. There were no votes for the high deductible because the only way we can have three plans is to have that on there, so that was already there. And the caveat, I guess, if you look at it that way, is if you want the copay gold, the cost of copay gold went up, basically just call it $2,000, $1,900 and whatever it was. And that really priced where you could afford to continue to offer that and pay for it. And so, but there were some members who talked to me and said they really would like at least to be able to have the option to vote on keeping the copay gold. And so that's what we did. We put it out there and we put these three for them to vote on, the value gold, value silver, and copay gold. With the copay gold, and Ms. Horton figured it out, but it's like
about $99 a paycheck for 20 pays.
For 20 pays.
$99 a paycheck.
Right.
If it's close to $2,000 increase, it pretty much figures almost $100, and we withhold it for 20 paychecks through the year.
So last year, what was the number that we have 166 a month? So do you remember what you
there was no cost to anybody last year.
We paid
covered
it every
all.
Year. We always
right.
pay it.
Last
and
year,
so
the copay gold went from $12,776, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it increased not quite 2000 but 1981 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add the one, I mean, it went
so
up.
So it was $12,776.
Right, and then if you go down below, if you do the old-fashioned math,
right.
you add 1,981 to that, mm-hmm. or just take $19 off and the cheating way, I guess, to get the other way. But it comes to, you know, it comes to the
19.
Yeah.
So you still think it? Because we all have always paid it.
You have, but I.
Why?
When we had the auditor here,
right.
The auditor, before he left, we talked, and what he recommended to me was, there are things that we have to get figured out with the audit so you know exactly where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And his recommendation was, when you set your budget for next year, budget exactly what the state and federal government is giving you this year, and no more.
Right.
And that way, whatever the carry forward is, because there were some there were some coding and number things, and they have to be, actually, Kristen's working on getting some of those things done. And then we have to do, and he had a CPA term for it, and I don't remember, but it's basically a balance transfer, so it will go from wherever it was coded to where it should have been coded. And then you, after you get all those done, then you have a true picture of where everything should be. And right now we don't have that. So his recommendation is when you set that, well, by doing that, now you're looking at there's no carry, don't count on carry forward until you get the carry forward and everything figured out.
I'm just reluctant to not offer it because we've always done that. That's been part of our, you know, what we offer. So there's no way that we can.
They're very, at least with the copay goal, they're very, you're going to struggle to find a school that offers that free anymore. I can just tell you from looking at a couple of other districts, some of them are offering the value silver mm-hmm. as their top plan.
And
if they're paying for their employees.
What was the majority vote again?
The majority vote was value gold, 18, and then it was either 13 or 14. I thought it was 14 for copay gold and then 8 for value silver.
Well, and so I wonder, do you think that it's probably going to affect families, probably more people that have families? Or
I really think the copay gold is more for people who have some ongoing things that they're... when you look at what the coverages are, Don, the biggest thing that you see when you look at the copay gold, the far to the right, and then compare it to the other three, the total out-of-pocket is higher with the copay gold than any of the other three.
Right.
But what you get your copay and a smaller amount for are things like ambulance rides. If you ever have to take an air ambulance, you know, I think you and I had that conversation
right.
the other day. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars, and you're talking about $200 with copay gold.
Well, like I said, it's like 61,000 from BC to Tucson.
Yeah.
And but see, that's the thing that I hate to say it, but that's probably one of the biggest advantages is the insurance that we've offered. So I'm really reluctant that the gold copay gold kind of is an advantage for a lot of people that really need it. You know, is my
concern. It isn't, and I mean honestly.
And we can afford a lot of other things. This is, I think, is very important to me, and I would think to them as well.
Well, and you got to, you know, as I told the staff when we were kind of going through and looking at it, the thing is that pot of money that we have is the same pot. And if you take all that out and you take 38 and you take 38 copay golds mm-hmm. and you tap $2,000, that's $76,000 more you're paying for insurance, which means now you don't have money to pay raises. You know what I mean?
We're talking about 13 to 14 people.
Well, no, that's here, but if they all had the option, I mean, I know we had some people that took the silver, but I think, I mean, I don't want anybody to be offended, but I think you'd be crazy not to take the copay gold if it were offered. But the thing is it costs almost $3,000 more than the value gold. So the whole idea that we started with was trying to find something to get everybody kind of on the same page, right, as far as how much would be covered. But it's not fair if Cali has one insurance and Palma has another insurance and one of them gets $3,000 more of a benefit than the other, right? I mean, so our goal when we started out was to try to find a way to offer free insurance,
mm-hmm.
have the high deductible plan, and then the third one, whatever that was, it ended up being, you know, the higher, better, I guess you want to call it, the copay.
So what are you guys, your opinion about it, if you're an employee here?
I mean, it's up to you guys.
I know. I'm just wondering what they think.
Yep.
You have to pick one. You can do two.
No, they get three plans. One is a high deductible, so the high deductible's there.
Yeah.
And then there are actually 9 plans. 3 of them are high deductible.
Mm-hmm.
3 of them were over what we paid last year. And when we got to that level, that was when we had talks about we just have to be really careful how much you can do because you're getting to a point. Once you get to that 13,000 and, you know, now it'd be 14, 6, I think. That's quite a bit. And then what does that leave you? Because, I mean, people also want to get a raise. You know, so if you can give, if you can find a way to give a raise and then still give insurance that's covered, that's kind of more like a decent raise. I mean, because the last few years we've had big rate jumps, and I'm trying to think of somebody that won't get mad if I use their name, but I know Pelma talked to me once, so I'll use Pelma. But she talked to me last year about it, and she said, this is all I'm getting for a raise. And it was. I mean, the teachers didn't get much of a raise. The people on the bottom did, because we were trying to get the bottom closer, so the bottom went up a little bit more, but the top didn't move. I mean, only a couple $100, I think. I mean, I look around and see the teachers. They're probably moving their heads right now. But
we have people like parents that have been at the bottom, that have been here for 4 years, that are right at the bottom.
Yeah, I mean,
and we have people that have been here 3 or 4 years that are with people that are new hires, too.
Well, and that goes right back to when I came.
Mm-hmm.
What was the policy here? The policy was you hire people, you give them very little experience. And what we had that talk that first year.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you, if we're going to bring in better quality people and have more people apply, we have to give more credit for years, and we're going to have to raise the salaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it's like a teeter-totter, you know, and it's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you choose, and then that will just have an impact on what we are able to put on salary schedules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because the percentage, there's just so much money that there's going to be to spend, so.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of on the fence. What do you guys, how are you feeling about this?
Yeah,
it's important. I think insurance is probably one of the most important decisions to make and necessary, other than your salaries. And I think to have a job that doesn't have insurance is kind of not good.
We're lucky in Arizona to have it. Mm-hmm. We really are, because I've been in states where you just get a dollar amount and then you figure out what you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, usually that dollar amount's not even enough to pay for the insurance. So mm-hmm. I think, I don't know, but I think it's one of those where whatever decision you come with, some of the people are going to be happy with it, and some people would say they wish it would have gone the other way.
Well, I just wish we could find something in the middle to kind of accommodate everybody and everybody be happy about their decision.
Yeah, and that is really why we had that gold and silver value there, trying to find plans that would work to be free but still leave us money to give raises.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the thought process.
I just feel weird about not doing the insurance, because we've always paid that. And that's something we've always done, and that's part of the package for the employees, you know.
I mean, I understand that we would love to give the free insurance to our employees, to our teachers. And sometimes it gets hard in situations where you can't do it. I mean, the thing is, like, I'm not happy that they have to pay for it. Of course not, because it's insurance. Everybody needs it one day or another. But the thing is, like, I'd rather them have something good than go to the doctor and have an insurance that they're going to end up paying out of pocket way more if they were paying their monthly premium.
So I get it, and I agree, and that was kind of the middle ground where we wanted to make sure we had at least two things that would be free. Gold was obviously, the value gold was the most, you know, popular, I guess. The copay gold was that optional one where somebody said, I really want that, and it's worth me paying for it. And everybody got two votes, so they could pick the two plans that they liked. So
it was pretty tight between the copay gold and the value.
So if they pick the copay gold, they'll get that one, and whoever picked the value gold will get the value gold?
Copay gold will have to pay that $90 a month for 20 payments.
Okay.
The value gold is covered along with the value gold. They would also then get the dental and vision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the value silver, that's what they decide to get. So
only
they know that if they go to
value silver, wouldn't be in the equation unless you would rather offer value silver and something else.
So the eight people that pick the value silver don't get that one.
Right.
The value gold or the copper. Okay.
Right. And I can tell you that every person that picked value silver also picked value gold. All eight of those.
So they got the choice to do the copay, I mean the monthly payment or the value gold.
Right. And I think some of the people looked at it, and they may be people that are getting family insurance and thought the value silver was a good idea and the cost would be lower and they would have less when they go with the family plan. Well,
I said we vote on the copay gold and
the
value gold.
If that works.
And then the high deductible is the third option. I'd like to make sure we leave it. I don't think anyone will take the high deductible, but if you give that back to the trust, there's you may not get it back again. So it's best to have the three plans for the future.
Can I make a motion?
Yep. Okay. So I'd like to make a motion to approve the insurance of the copay gold and the value gold and the, how do you say it, the third one?
The high deductible.
The high deductible?
HPA.
Yeah, that one.
I'll second.
Hi.
Hi.
Do I?
You motioned.
She motioned.
I motioned.
You said?
I second.
Fine.
Two ayes so far.
I said aye.
I
didn't hear.
Three ayes. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's okay.
Right.
And after you introduced this, kind of, I did bring in an experienced specialist to explain it for us.
Okay. Moving on to action item C, presentation, discussion, and vote on approving Sparklight Internet services to provide fiber optic internet cable service. He's over there. He's hiding.
The microphone has to hear you.
Yeah, you got to speak so the microphone can hear you, so you're down for eternity's sake.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and read the letter that you guys have there.
You have to come up
here.
You
got to come up here.
Come on.
Quiet, sorry.
Which one is that, Mr. Wilson?
It's that, this one right here that I gave you, the special one. He put the letter together.
Yeah, so we have been trying to renew our internet agreement with our current provider in order to keep up with the technology improvements. Mm-hmm. The technology needs of the school call for a faster speed. We're adding cameras, sensors, remote access devices, IP speakers, intercom system, and the new phone system, thanks to the work that Ms. King has done with different grants and with the school facilities board of the state, and of course the support of Mr. Macklin, who keeps technology and the technology area in his mind, and is very supportive of and has been very supportive with technology to the school. Also, every student has a device to work with in the classroom. Grades 3 to 8 have Chromebooks, and grades kinder through third grade have iPads. The internet providers here in the area are very limited, but we found one that is willing to absorb the construction cost to bring fiber to the school. And we have the support of the Arizona Department of Education State Director for E-Rate, and he's actually helping us with the application process that will save or help us pay for the service up to 90%. Take a look at the attached, please take a look at the attached documentation that support my recommendation to get a 1 gigabit per second speed internet service with fiber optics. You can see the quotes from Sparklight, Lumen. There's a letter from the Arizona State E-Rate Coordinator for schools and the different providers in the area.
Mr. Rodriguez has been working very hard on this, and he came three weeks ago. He came in and said, did you know that we have fiber optic cable running down the alley? And
how did you
we didn't know.
We were getting behind in our technology with the phone lines, and during that process, we figured out that it was a good chance, a good opportunity for the school to go ahead and jump into the possibility of bringing fiber to the school. I mean, like I said, the technology needs of the school are just growing and growing every day.
Yeah, we need to keep up with the times. Well, nowadays, you need internet.
If you're even with where everybody thinks you're going to be with technology, you're kind of really behind. And so I say that he's done a good job of keeping me up on what do we got to do to stay ahead and not just try to catch up. And so when he brought this to me, we wanted to, Lumen was the company that has the cable. Mm-hmm. And so he went to try to contact them to see what it would cost. And that price you see from Lumen of $3,119.12 may not be a cost forever, but they had to dig, they would have to dig 800 feet of cable. They were not interested in working with E-Rate. They were not interested in going through the whole process with Mr. Rodriguez. And so Sparklight will, and they're going to bring their fiber optic cable from quite a bit farther away, but they'll absorb the costs with the idea that they'll be able to sell more in town and they'll have us as a customer for a long time. And they started out, because the public can't see the prices, so Lumen wanted $3,120.67 or something. And then Sparklight, their agreement is $1,658. And then it will drop to $166 after when E-Rate starts. So, that, I mean.
A month?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
90%?
Yeah.
How long would that be for?
That's a 3-year agreement with two extensions, one year each. So there could be a total of 5 years.
Wow.
And once you have it all dug, you know, that's the big cost with the fiber optic. So he did a great job. He got a hold of this. He knows the guy at the state.
So you recommend Sparklight?
Yes. That is my recommendation.
Anything, Lisa?
Yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Good
great job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Yeah, thank you. I would like to make a motion to approve the fiber optic cable for Sparklight.
Second that motion.
Aye. What was that? Moving on to action item D, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on approving the hiring of students to help with our summer jobs.
Summer jobs versus not summer school jobs.
Right. Yes. These would be the 15, 16-year-old kids. I put down 3 to 4 positions just because, if you remember the first time we did it, we said 2, and then we came back and said 4, and last year we said 3, and then we said 4. So I don't know exactly, because really there's 2 things weighing. One, if things roll down the hill faster with the construction and weatherization, then we are going to have a lot of activity possibly on the 2 roofs and the elementary building. Best case scenario. And so if that happens, you know, we'll need work out and we'll have cleaning and things, but you know, Paco and Raina and, you know, 4 kids, it might get a little crowded and everything. So so we will work them from after Memorial Day until the 30th of June. And again, there's that aggregate cap, and people probably think I'm nuts, but they keep saying, just remember it's there. And though there's a 99.9% chance that they're going to approve extending, you know, and pushing it down the road another year and saying it's okay, you can spend more than that. If by chance it ever happens, you just have to keep in mind that every penny you spend after July 1 is a penny that you have to count if it's state funds. Mm-hmm. Federal funds are free from that. State funds count. So I just know, just by watching the kids that we've had the past couple of years, I've seen growth and confidence and them. It's fun to watch them learning how to do a job they don't know how to do. You know, like when they get on there and they use one of those stripping machines, and if you've never been in a custodial position, you get this round machine and you put stripper on and it gets really slippery and you turn it on, and if you're not doing it very carefully, you just go, it takes you for a little bit of a ride. So they learn how to do that. They learn how to do the hedge cutting and the lawn mowing and that. There are some things we want to fix up. There's some fences with the outfield baseball and some different things like that we want to try to work on that are outdoors also. But I also think that part of what you guys don't know that's actually in the plan that we're working with the state and the company on is out there. Last year we took and put that beautiful orange paint on all those windows. Well, those windows will all be gone. That will be all block up to where the windows are right now. And then the top windows are going to be replaced by actual windows and more.
Well, wait, what's going to be on the bottom? They're going to be gone?
Well, they'll be taken out and they're going to put block in there.
Oh.
Or bricks. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's block, but they'll put block up to that third window. To the third window, so like when I stand up, it's right to here.
The plan is,
unless they're 6'8 or 6'9, that nobody could come there if we were being under attack. Nobody could see over the top.
If there was a fire, they could literally break the top
and
not still get out.
And that's the whole thing with the windows. And that's going to be a discussion that we're going to have, or you're going to have as you do all of the revisions on your building, is do you want to leave the window coverings, the window irons, do you want to leave it on for looks, or do you want to take them off? Because when they replace the windows, you can put different windows in there so you actually have some access to get out through that window if you needed to. So those will be things you guys will be able to have discussions about as we go on. But there's a lot of things that are just in it, and it's going to end up being about $2.4 million. So a lot of stuff will be fixed. Really, honestly, Kristen...
$2.4 million?
$2.4
million. What's the...
And that's not counting the COPS grant or any of that other stuff. That's all over and above.
The ages that you're...
We'll hire 15 and 16-year-olds.
15 and 16?
So basically freshmen, and this year's freshmen and sophomores.
Okay.
So
there's something that you mentioned about the money that we could go over.
Well, the cap limit, that's that thing we've talked about each year. And if the legislature doesn't approve spending over the top of the cap, this year we would have had to cut $660,000 from March 1st to the end of the year. And, you know, most of your food, there's some food bought. You know, you've got electricity, water, and salaries.
But we haven't had any issues last couple
years.
We have
not had to do it.
With this, right?
No, we have not. They've continually voted. Last year it went right to the last day. This year they did it very early. So hopefully they'll, you know, what we're hoping for, the education-wise, is that they'll pass something so it's a 4 or 5 year window, because it was written in 1982-81, back in those days. And if you think about how much money was coming from the state then versus how much the state spends now, it's like we get the state schools got I don't remember how many billions of dollars. It's a lot compared to what they used to get. So
okay. Anything, Brisa?
No.
You have anything?
Yeah.
You want to make a motion?
I would like to make a motion to approve of the hiring of the students for the summer jobs which would be like 3 to 4 positions available.
I'll second.
Aye.
Aye. Moving on to E, presentation, discussion, and votes on approving summer school for 10 days over 2 weeks for grades 1 through 5. And we are exploring one full week, 5 days of credit recovery for our middle school students that need to make up for work and improve their grades to pass the times for that would be likely to be from 8 to 4 the first week after school. And remember that we added the kindergarten stuff.
And also, can we adjust that with that to make it say K-5 instead of 1-5?
Okay.
That would be
K-5.
Yes, K through 5 instead of 1 through 5.
But I was pre-kindergarten.
Well, the one, the bottom one from the governor is pre-K.
Mm-hmm.
But the one above should, if you would make it K through 5, instead of 1st through 5th. Because last summer we did 1st through 5th because we were very short in staff that wanted to work. So if we put it as K-5 and we get enough staff, that would be the best.
So explain to me,
sure.
What is the cost?
The cost,
entirely.
Okay. The cost comes out of ESSER.
Mm-hmm.
Head it back there? No.
Okay. I want to say it was... We're allotted 30. We get a half a custodial position. We get a food service position. We get a bus driver. We get, I want to say it's 8 teachers and 3 paras, but
8 and 4.
Okay.
84.
And that's all paid. I want to say it's like $34,000. Heather would know the number off the top of her head, but it's 30-something. It's in that area. We get that this year, and we get it again next year. Now, if we don't have summer school, federal government keeps that money. We won't get it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just because we...
So either you use it or you lose it.
Use it or lose it, yes.
So why are we doing student recovery? I mean, are these kids that should
credit
not
recovery?
Have graduated?
No, you got kids that they'll maybe flunk 2 classes, but they're, you know,
hanging on the edge.
Percentages below 5-10%. I mean, sometimes it's worse than that. But I mean, and so that gives them a chance if they want to come in and make it up. You don't want to retain kids. And what we don't want to really get into, if we can at all help it, and the credit recovery has helped, is we don't want to have 6th, 7th, and 8th graders fail math. Let's just say math. So they failed 6th grade math, but they passed everything else. So they go on, and then they take 6th grade math, and then they take 7th grade math. They never catch up, you know. So, and it's more of a, it can be a royal pain to try to schedule it that way.
So
and for Mr. Rodriguez, especially with the power stool, he would want to pull my hair out if I did that to him.
So it's $34,000 for the 10 days.
Yes, yes. And I should clarify that. That $34,000 does not include the credit recovery. Credit recovery is extra unless we don't need the 8 teachers, and then we can use that teacher to pay for that.
And we also have the Governor's Summer Enrichment Grant.
Right, the Governor's Summer Enrichment Grant. And Kristen's been kind of working on that. She's had some conversations. Once you approve it, she'll be talking with food service tomorrow to try to, you know, get that lined up. We need to get a price of what they think it would cost for those kids. And obviously the hardest part is we got to guess how many kids we're going to get. So after tonight, we're going to set our kindergarten roundup, and then we can get all these other pieces starting to fall in, but we needed to kind of go through all of these things. There is also one other summer program that is funded by Title III, and that will be a 2 or 3 hours a day for an ELL program. Hmm. And I'll have all that information. I did not get that from Ms. Trevino. She came in and mentioned it to me at like 4 o'clock today. So it was a little late to do that. So we'll just do it at the next board meeting.
Okay. Do you have anything?
Nope.
Anything? You want to make a motion?
No, go ahead.
All right. I'll make a motion to approve summer school.
I'll second.
And also, with my motion, the governor's summer enrichment grant. Can I get a second?
Don, second.
Ms. Walker, you. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And we do have the pay in there, because one of the stipulations with all the grants is that you have the pay in it when you put all the grant work in, so it makes the guesswork out.
Moving on to F, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on approving the continuing resolution for the county treasurer to be authorized to invest and reinvest funds in accordance with ARS. Is it Title 6? Or Title 15? 1025.
It's 615-1025.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this is one we do every year. It's an annual approval. And they just invest whatever we have, and then they give us back information, and then we have to file that information on the correct report.
I don't really have any questions pertaining to that.
Something that we do every single time, right?
Yes, we do.
I just want to make sure that we got the ARS correctly.
15.
It's Title 15, right?
Yes, Title 15.
Title 15, Section 1025.
So there should not be a 6 there?
No.
Negative?
Right.
Sorry. Right.
Yeah. So remove the 6 out of there.
Mm-hmm. All right. I just copied it from the treasurer's email.
It looks like it's off by itself there.
Darn treasurer's off, but you
I
can't
know,
trust those people.
You
can't
tell it. Yes, I'd like to make a motion to approve the continuing resolution for the county treasurers to invest and reinvest funds in accordance to the ARS Title 15-1025.
I'll second.
Aye.
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 All right. Moving on to action item G. Presentation, discussion, and possible vote on possible change to copy machine service contract.
All right. So, the Valley Imaging is where we have bought, you guys have bought copy machines from them long before I got here. And if you go to their website, they've got a really wonderful ad that says, Mojave contract. You know, that's for state bids, and once they have that, all you need to do is just accept their price because it's a state price. Unfortunately, that's not been updated for a number of years. And what happened when we bought our, you are still able to spend up to $10,000 wherever you would like. Okay, we bought our last copy machine from them, and then gave the district a plan to service them. And because it said that they were a Mojave contract, I guess nobody thought twice about it. And we should have looked for the contract in the Mojave. That should have been pulled every time you do anything with a Mojave or any of the IGAs or state contracts. You pull that contract, you put it with the purchase, you staple it, and then the auditor smiles. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't done. What we found out when we started digging through this, and I should say Kristen started digging through this, we started looking at all of the monthly charges, and the contract with the copier, and we have used our copiers a lot, okay, in the last few years. But the contract was costing us about $18,000.
Almost $20,000.
Yeah. If you want to round it up. So
that doesn't include the cost of the copier.
Yeah. That's just the toner and how much they charge you for every copy you make. And color is more expensive and whatever. But anyway, that's a lot. And so what we did was she asked, can I go and try to find others? And I said, yes. And so she found Pacific, what's it called again?
Pacific Office Automation.
Pacific Office Automation. They have someone, excuse you, bless you, all of them. They have someone that lives in the Sierra Vista area so we could get service. Because I think the concern before was if you don't hire someone close, then you're never going to get service. The 3-year contract with Pacific Office Automation would cost us $300 a month, and that includes colored copies. So if you take 300 times 12, you get $3,600 a year. And so for 3 years, we would be talking about right around $11,000. Mm-hmm. And for 3 years with the other one, obviously, we were talking about much more.
So last year, there was $18,700.
Yes.
Baby.
So, and we did, I mean, we have used the copy machines. We really have. But when one company will give you for this price and they see what you did, and then the other company comes in almost $15,000 less. That's
well, wait, we're getting five more copiers.
Huh?
We're getting, it says, for the service of five copiers, that we're not buying new ones.
No, we have five copiers.
We have all the copiers.
Yes, we have.
So we're not getting any anymore. It's just
right,
the five we already
and they took back one of our copiers. We traded it in. But they failed to give us credit for it. They thought it was still in one of our rooms.
Oh.
So about a month and a half ago,
two and a half weeks ago, it was right before.
Okay. We did some haggling, and Kristen's very good at that, and she had them look everything up, and they found the machine, and so they have credited us, and so that credit will take up about 2 more months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2 more months of payments, and then I know I'm asking you to approve this, okay, but we won't put it into action until we use up the credit that they owe us.
I'm figuring a June 1st start for Pacific Office Automation.
So since there's no added cost that way, it's already been spent, and they really won't give you money back. They'll just give you credit.
Okay.
So.
Can we do that? Although we know that they're not the Mojave.
We can because we got the two bids and there's no one else within.
There's Valley Imaging, the Pacific Office, and then there's a Pro Copy out of Phoenix. I tried to call several times that Pro Copy. They never called me back. I've left several voice messages. I've got that all documented in my procurement packet for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one that did respond was Pacific Office Automation.
Mm-hmm. Which one do you recommend?
And that's the one that I'm recommending just because, you know, they told me that they have a guy out of Tucson and they were responsive. And they're the only contracted vendor that does the Lanier or Rico copiers. Everybody else is either the Xerox or Minolta.
Would there be any interest? Because you know how sometimes when you get like a copy machine or anything, a machine from this company, like they would want us to pay them back for something or anything like
no,
that?
No, because we bought all of our copiers mm-hmm. outright from Valley Imaging, they don't own them.
But because we bought them, but we were using their services
right.
at that time, will there be anything like you have to pay us back this amount?
No,
because
we're on right now with Valley Imaging, we're on a month-to-month.
Okay.
So all I have to do is send them a letter saying that effective June 1st mm-hmm. we'll no longer be in a partnership with you mm-hmm. for our copiers.
Now, this is the entirety, how many copies we have in total, Spy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All working?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Most days.
Not kind of right.
If they're not working, we hear about it. Because they all, it's that Murphy's Law, you know, the time you really need it and you need it right now, that's when it doesn't work.
You have anything?
No.
You want to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to I would like to make a motion to approve the service contract for
Pacific
Office Automation.
Adam Mishi.
I'll second.
Don, second. Aye.
Aye.
Three ayes. Moving on to action item H, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on approving the grading and drainage assessment.
Okay, so this was something that we did not even realize that we were going to need to do. We knew we had the water problem down in the baseball field. But Kristen's been working with SFB a lot since she started here in June, almost 2 years ago now. And she's gotten to know the, I don't know, what do you call that person that you deal with?
Our liaison.
Our liaison. And this, the gal that we work with used to be at Tucson Unified. And so Kristen was calling and saying, okay, we have another HVAC that just went out. We have this that went out. We have that that went out. We think we need to do this. And so this lady, Sean, who I think that's her name, Sean, right? I don't remember if she was coming to Bisbee or what, but she just got in her car and drove out here. And she came and toured. It was a day I wasn't here, so I never got to meet her. But when I got back, what the ladies told me was that Sean had said, you have a really big project, and it's going to be a couple $1 million. It's not going to be something that you're going to be able to fix with a little paint and trying to kill some mold. So that started us on this project, and you'll see something come up from EM Squared coming up here in a little bit, and they're we could call them the construction consultant guys.
They're the architect from that we're using.
So it's somebody that has worked with SFB a long time, and so they have a have done it, know how to jump through all the hoops, and it's been good. I mean, he's been down here at least once a month, mm-hmm. looking at things and continuing to look at all that. So when the grading came up, that was something that they told us to do, and then of course they will pay for it. And I thought at first they just meant because the water. We have some areas where our water runs back to the building. So they said we're going to have to dig up. I don't know if it's going to end up being all the sidewalk, but a lot of the sidewalks, different areas around the buildings where anything real close towards the building instead of away. And then, of course, down at the baseball field and the gym, because we really don't want, you know, more multicolored floor than we already have. And that last year when we got it was the monsoons, and everything runs down to that little area by the gym and the bleachers, and then when the wind's blowing as fierce as it gets sometimes in those monsoons, and it blew it right into our back room and our gym. And remember the floor, we had a, you know, big heave in it, and we had to redo the whole back room, and it was all covered by insurance. But they will fix it so that it'll stay level and it's not going to just roll towards the gym as well. And so that's all part of it, which I guess I never put two and two together to get that they were going to do that as well. I knew they were going to work on the cement and stuff around the building, but that'll be nice, and it's going to save us issues because we always have to have sandbags and everything. I mean, we're in the middle of the high desert, and we have to have sandbags outside our gym. It's kind of weird, but, you know, you have to be ready. And then if you go home for a weekend and somebody forgets to put the sandbags up there on that door and you get a heavy rain, it's all running there, you know, and you get not quite white caps, but almost blowing it in. So it'll be nice to be able to not have to do that. Having new doors that'll be watertight, sealed tight, and all that kind of stuff will also be an advantage. So it's a bit of a mess when you try to keep all of these grants and things separated, because the COPS grant, we have the doors, we have the push button entries, we have the cameras, we have phones, we have, you know, and then you go to this other grant where we're, you know, doing all the weatherization and roofs, and so there's a lot of irons in the fire, and then that's not even counting the big federal grants and things that we have.
So they're going to do a survey, and they're going to decide what the plan,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll come from Mesa,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll do that job. And that job includes the $22,800. And so any additional services, the hourly rates range from $140 an hour to $55 an hour. So will those be pre-approved before they proceed with anything
yes.
in addition
and
to what we're already paying with the $22,800?
Yeah, and what I'll do is if they come back to me and say that they need those, I'll submit a change order to SFB.
And just update as we go along and see what exactly that entails, because that could rack up pretty significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
And I think one of the goals they're going to try to do is get one company that can do multiple projects instead
mm-hmm.
of having one company come down for the roofing and one come down for replacing the windows and doors.
We're not paying per trip. Like, we're not paying. This includes them migrating down here, doing
mm-hmm.
the job, and
well, that
not stretching it out, like, you know, repeated trips if necessarily, right?
Yeah, that 22 is just for them to come down and do the assessment, not for them to do the job.
All right, so when they do the job, that includes this hourly rate pertaining to all these services?
Well,
here.
No, those rates are for
additional.
For mm-hmm. the assessment, any additional fees that or problems
okay.
that come up when they do the assessment.
So you kind of keep everybody up to date on what is inclusive
mm-hmm.
that you're going on. We don't want to get blindsided.
Well, and,
yeah.
you know, this is a lot like, I hate to say it, mm-hmm. but this is a lot like that flow-through money from BSBY, where we get the bill, we pay the bill, we hit SFB, they repay us. We
mm-hmm.
get the bill. And so, you know, it's just a lot of things. And like I say, I think Kristen does a really good job of staying on top of it, that SFB has saved us a lot. It really has been a blessing. That they have, and so as long as we can take advantage of it and continue to improve our area, that's great.
Alrighty. I'm good.
Do you have anything, Lisa?
Yeah.
Anything left?
Do
you have to make a motion?
I'd like to move to approve item H.
I'll second.
Aye.
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 Moving on to action item I, presentation, discussion, and possible votes on approving the class trips for the following classes and sites. And I'll let Mr. Macklin talk.
Yeah, these are all the class trips that we have under our title funds, and the plan is that teachers will get, if there's a need to have chaperones that are outside of our employees, we'll get the names, we'll bring them to you guys to approve before we go.
Mm-hmm.
So the April 19th, I believe we're going to have probably three or four parents going with.
Yeah, three.
And then we'll have the two teachers and then one para. So,
which teachers are going on the 19th?
The 19th would be Miss Stone and Miss Paklar and Miss Cornea. Sorry. Cornea is going on the 5th. And 6th and 7th graders are going to be going to the Sonoran Desert Museum on the 27th. And I don't know who that's going to be. We're going to divide the middle school staff between the Sonoran Desert trip and the U of A. So we'll decide, and everybody will go to one of them is kind of the hope.
Okay.
I mean, if somebody comes and says, I would rather stay here with the, you know, we probably could be talked into it, but I'm trying to share the.
Do we have enough room for 6th, 7th, and 8th graders?
Just 6th and 7th would go to the Sonoran Desert, and we would have a big bus, and we would take the white bus, and
okay.
it will fit.
It will fit.
I mean, they're going to have to sit 2 to a seat, but you know, 2 to a seat's not bad. And they say that those seats fit 3, but.
Anything for kinder, first, and second?
They're doing their own trips. The third grade, I know, is either going to the science. I don't know if you want to call it the science museum, but the one up.
Science lab.
Or they're going to bring the science lab down here. And I haven't heard.
Is Andrew here?
Yeah.
Are they coming here, or are you guys going to go up there?
Well, we're in conversation about that right now. I do have a contact on... We've just taken the safe route.
Okay. They're negotiating.
All right.
So, yeah, it's... So, we'll, any names of anybody, there shouldn't be any outside chaperones for 6th and 7th, I believe. 5th grade will be Miss Cornea and her para, Rose, and I don't...
I could help her.
Okay. Miss Dobson, that'd be good. When we were going to send you guys, did they say how many chaperones per...
I think it was
two.
Which is part of the reason... Okay.
That was part of the reason you guys did...
Third grade
that.
And the mind.
Yes.
Just
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... so I will get you the list of the chaperones.
There'll
but
be
there
a lot less kids coming.
Most of the people back in the school.
No.
I'll make a motion to approve the class trips as specified.
I second the motion.
Aye. Moving on to action item J, presentation, discussion, and possible vote, possibly approving a four-day week for the 2023-2024 school year.
All right, I did bring all the ballots, both from the teachers and the parents, just in case anybody wanted to read it. So the teachers voted, it was 90.7, so before I said 91, but since it was under, I wrote 90% here. The parents and the community... It was a little hard to do the percentage because I had one mom who voted for the five-day and the four-day and wrote very good arguments for both.
I think she wants us to have them 9 days a week.
I didn't know where to put her, so I left her separate because she was talking me through it, and then all of a sudden she went to the Spanish, and she went the opposite way. So
she didn't sign them over right there.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Okay. So, but in that 87.1, not counting that one vote, 87.1% voted in favor of the four-day week. So it was fairly decisive.
Are we telling them like a trial run? Are we going to adjust it for the year?
Well, here's what I told the parents when I met with them. I said, the school, my recommendation to the school is that we would do this for 1 year. And if you cannot help us with attendance and you get your children to school Monday through Thursday, if our attendance drops, the hit for attendance is going to be big because each day now will be worth 25% of our total attendance. So we need those kids here. Our worst attendance day is Friday. A couple weeks ago, it was like we had 40% gone. We've had 60% gone. Lord, if it snows and rains or the wind comes up, you might know everybody. You might be related to half the people. There's not many that come. So we need to get the kids here when we have school. That would be the big thing. And I would just recommend that you just keep that in mind and you look at it next year. And if our attendance isn't improving, then it's probably better to go back to a 5-day.
Is there going to be anybody here on Fridays?
On Fridays, if there's work to be done,
for example,
when I'm here in the summer, we've always gone to a 4-day week, and then somebody's here until about noon in case the delivery comes or something like that. But
what I'm referring to is dealing with attendance. One thing that Bisbee does is if a student is absent for a number of days, right? Then that student is required to make up time. They call it credit recovery, and they do that on Fridays.
Yeah, and I just found out about that actually this week, and so I haven't talked to Woody about it yet, but that would be a conversation I'd have with him to see how successful it is, because I think that would help for deterring kids not coming. Mm-hmm. And so I was interested when I had a parent telling me about that's what they do to get the kids there. Mm-hmm. And so, but what it would take then is you would have to probably have two or three staff members, mm-hmm. at least when you first, the first few months, because you're going to want to divide the kids into different age groups.
But I think it's good to give them an out either, you know. Then if you can only, you don't have to come, you can opt out for one day, and you can always make it up on Friday.
Well, I that's why I want to talk to Woody, and I want to see, because I think, too, it's also, Friday's when everybody else is out of school, and it's a fun day. And so if you take a fun day away, maybe it hurts more. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know when we had Saturday school in Minnesota, kids hated it.
I bet. Yeah.
Because kids hated it. Mm-hmm. And so we did that for academics and for absences.
That would be better.
Yeah, well, but that was, you know, the five-day week in the middle of winter and cold and
right.
Billy Blue. And
okay.
I'm in favor of the four-day week. What do you guys think?
I think it's worth
trying. I mean, it's worth trying it.
Well, the numbers speak for themselves, too, with people wanting it.
Yeah. Well, I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the four-day week for the 2023-2024 school year.
Second the motion?
Aye.
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 All right, moving on to action item K, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on approving a preventative maintenance plan to service our HVAC systems from Comfort Systems USA, Southwest, out of Tucson.
All right. So I gave you this pretty handout. It really doesn't have the exact preventative maintenance plan that we're going to go with, but you can look at it, and it's got all the information. With all of the things that we have done and all of the funding we have gotten from SFB, one of the things that they're stipulating is that we need to have a good or put in place a better preventative maintenance plan. There really wasn't one. There hasn't been one really in place. I would say, I mean, I don't think we've really had a true preventative maintenance. The idea was that the school had Beto, and then they hired Ramon, and that was the preventative maintenance, you know. And if they know how to fix it, great. But if they don't know how to fix it, not so much. So I can tell you that with our HVAC units, and one of the reasons probably that there have been, I mean, first of all, remember, we talked about replacing a lot, but those units are all 20-plus years old.
So
they're not supposed to live that long.
This will be for the new units.
All of the units. They will come in and service every unit. They will do a 64-point inspection. They will replace belts. They'll lube. They'll do all of that.
Even the old units?
Even the old units. And they will replace the filters one time. When they come, they're going to bring us the filters for three more changes.
Mm.
So we will... Because when I got here, we were changing the filters twice a year. Well, there's a lot of dust in Arizona and whatever. So we went to three times a year just because the filters are really, really expensive. You know, you figured, Eric? Was it eight or a thousand? Somewhere between eight and a thousand. Just for one set of the filters to do one round. So we're talking between $2,500 and $3,000 of filters they're going to bring us. And so when they had all these plans, it was like, you know, think about it. We have not really done any 64-point inspections except when we bring somebody out to check a couple of units and try to revive them, you know. And so if we do one 64-pointer a year, but we replace four times the filters, maybe we can... you know, get them to last and have a little better plan. So they put this together for us. It's not one of their general plans, which they had in this handout, but they put it together. It's a three-year contract. They would do all of our machines, all of our HVAC units. They would replace belts and whatever else they needed to. $18,500. That includes all of the filters every year.
Where's the money going to come from?
Well, it's going to come from... I don't think it can come from capital, so it's going to have to come from M&O.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do that with SFB, but if we don't have the preventive maintenance plan, we won't get any money from them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it is kind of cheaper. I did reach out at the beginning of the year to several people in the area to do a similar type of maintenance plan, and they were way more, and they weren't even contracted either. They were just local people. So this way it kind of checks all of the boxes because it keeps us in compliance with the state that we're using a contracted vendor.
Hmm.
Plus, it's cost effective, and it keeps us in line with the requirements for SFP.
The struggle is going to be if they bring all of the filters at one time, just storing them. But
considering it's been like an accident waiting to happen, it's been a struggle, I don't really see where there's any way around it personally.
There isn't, because we still have
24
units that have not been replaced and are not.
So we have 24 that have never been replaced.
Yes.
And we have what?
13 that have been replaced.
It seems like there were more because we talk about them almost all the time, but you know, it's you
so
talk about
what's
a unit.
The total units that we have?
13 and 24, 37.
Mm-hmm.
37
totality.
That's
a lot of money.
It is, but you know, when you think about it, though, they're going to service 37 units for $18,500, and they're going to give us all the filters for the whole each year. I was shocked. I really was. I thought that was a really good deal.
So the $4,625 is every quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we would repay every quarter.
And they'll also give us an assessment of each machine and tell us, okay, this machine has this issue. You know, we can fix it, and it'll, you know, with our fixes, we can see a life expectancy of maybe a year or two or 6 months. They'll give us that as well. And so that way, if there is a machine that they know, look, this isn't going to last you, I can get that ball rolling and take that assessment to SFB to say, okay, this is what they have found.
Cover it up. Put it over.
Yeah, well, no, we're not locking it. You know, whatever. No, but, I mean, that's the thing. That's that first step. To have that. That says your machine is going to cost more to fix, and it's not going to last very long. We take that to SFB. She can turn that into a new machine. And it's about, I don't know, it seems like it takes about a month, but.
They usually do it pretty fast with the HVAC because it's considered one of their emergency issues.
Okay.
You ready?
No, I'm good.
Andy?
No, I'm good.
Can I
make a motion? I'd like to make a motion to approve the preventive maintenance plan service for the HVAC systems from Comfort Systems USA.
I'll second.
Aye.
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 All right, moving on to L, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on school policy groups in the states. Here we go.
All right. If you guys remember, I know Don knows, but if you guys remember, we have those two big red binders with there are 9 areas where they divide all the policies that help govern the school.
Mm-hmm.
That's through ASBA. Okay, ASBA's kind of had a corner on the market forever. They had good attorneys. They did a good job with keeping up on policy. As we always bring those policies in, one of the comments we have is a lot of them are written towards big schools or high schools, you know, so, but we adopt them. The problem with ASBA is when we adopt that, we might say, well, that's good, but we really want to put some kind of an age level or whatever. We can't do that with ASBA. We don't have the ability to go in and change the policy online if you guys want it worded just slightly different. And it's not going to change the legality of the policy.
Mm-hmm.
With the trust, they thought we should really look into this because there are a lot of schools that are getting priced out. ASBA costs $3,600 plus. I want to say about $3,650 something.
Yeah, 50.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 50. A year for our policies.
Well, wait. Are you talking about? Not them sending us updates for policies. You're talking about a policy manual?
That's just, no. That's just the policy service. So they send us the updates, but we don't get a manual unless we spend, I think you told me the last time was like $1,000 or something like
well,
that.
Well, it was actually more because every board member used to get a full set. So each board member had two volumes, and we always had a set here at every meeting to refer to. I think it's easier. I'm an old school. I'd rather do that than go online and have to scroll up and down and back and forth. But they were $1,000 a set, and so we lost all three sets in the last administration. And so
we have one set.
And I'm just telling you, just because I've been doing this a long time, what we did is we didn't pick it apart about what didn't apply to us, like high schools. We just used what applied to us as an elementary school. So we didn't go through and get rid of all the high school stuff. It didn't apply to us. If it's something that didn't pertain to us, we just ignored it because it didn't. It was not referring to us. And so
would that be any issues if we do that?
No. And
instead of just
no. Well, that's what we've been doing is basically just approving it. And then it's there in the policy manual, even though it doesn't really apply to us right now. I mean, if at some point in the future Naco had a high school, you already would have your, you know what I mean? So, but the kicker here is ASBA and what they provide. And the manuals, the way ASBA does it, if you guys like the alphabet, that's great. But, you know, you're going to look up policy A, C, J, X, B
dash
dash whatever, right? And it's like, ah, you know, I mean, and I in Minnesota had it the same as Arizona, they really did. And then I went to South Dakota for 2 years, and they had this number system. And I was like, wow, this is like easy. It's like, go to policy number 110, you know, 110-5. Well, that's easy. I mean, you know, in my mind, and maybe numbers is easier. I don't know, but. So what the trust did was they came down and they said, there's an easier way and a less expensive way, and we can help our members, and we already get our legal, prepaid legal from the trust anyway. All right? So the trust went out, they actually hired some attorneys away from that used to work with ASBA. Mm-hmm. They hired some very, very knowledgeable education law people, and they wrote out a new manual. And they looked at a lot of different states. And they also looked at Arizona and ASBA to try to see what all the policies were about. And Don and I have sat in on at least three, maybe four presentations by them, because it was like, okay, well, it sounds like this is going to be inexpensive, but is it going to be any good? Who are you got? How are you going to line it up? And so they're running their policies from 100 through 599. So they have five different books. So instead of nine areas, they just condensed it to five. Obviously, they grouped a few things together.
Are they making their own policies, or are they adopting Arizona?
They're writing school policies based on school law around Arizona, but they've also looked around at U.S.
It's not
laws.
Aligned with ASBA at all.
Well,
and they're
honestly, the trust and ASBA are kind of like a brother and a sister. In a way, everybody uses both of them for the most part, but they really haven't been in competition with each other. And so, like now, instead of it being a basketball or baseball competition, it's more like a wrestling competition. It's one-on-one or a race. And so the trust decided they wanted to put together something for the schools that were struggling to pay for the services through ASBA. And so then they put this together, and with that, they charge $240 per year, and they have a one-time fee, and I wrote $250, but I believe it's $255.
Correct, $255.
Okay, so the first year you pay $495, and if you were staying with ASBA, you would pay $3,650. Now, they do have an option, and I think, honestly, if we made the switch, I would recommend that we did this, was you can use some of your prepaid legal money, and you can have them come, and they will sit down, and they will align all of your policies to what you previously had. So they would sit down, probably in the extra room, and lay out the policy book and go through, and is there anything that we're missing that you think you need a policy for that's in here that's not in the booklet that we have? And then we could add a policy. The other nice thing about this is it gives you the ability to Everything's online. You have all the online. And you also have the ability to go in and have somebody at your school being the one that can put whatever in.
Let me ask you, could we possibly table this just so we can, you know, I hate to say it, but we've been doing that for so long.
Right.
I haven't been happy with it whatsoever. I think it's a big failure. A lot of it doesn't apply to us anyway, but could we maybe buy a month to kind of research that and look at into, because it's just going outside the norm.
This is the only reason I wasn't going to bring it till next week. ASBA has sent, or next month, but ASBA keeps, they've sent me the renewal, and here's their coupon. If you renew early, you get one free month.
And
so instead of costing $3,650, it would cost $3,347 or something like that.
Okay, tell us that again. $3,600.
They basically take $300 off that first month. They give you a free month if you renew early.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it seems pretty clear, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you guys need another month? Because I'm kind of...
I didn't know that you were able to do that, that you were able to just
completely
disregard ASBA.
Well, because ASBA's, now we're not, we would still be members to ASBA. There are good things with ASBA. Mm-hmm. We would still be able to go to the law conference and say, no, Mr. Romero's gone the last couple of years. That's a great conference, and if you guys get a chance to go, I would recommend you go to that law conference in the fall. It's in September, like somewhere around the 9th and 10th every year. That's the best conference they do. That other conference used to be really good, and the last time I went was not good. I mean, it very watered down. The presenters, the speakers weren't very good. So I think you get more out of that. Mm-hmm. And even though it's ASBA, I think ultimately they're going to end up teaming up with the trustees.
But there are different, the language is different? Or the bylaws are different?
They're just going to put it in a different way. They're going to frame it in numbers, and they're going to condense a couple of these categories. So you only have five categories, mm-hmm. and you're going to go from 100 to 199, and from 200 to 299. And they're all going to be different. I think they have two numbers in each booklet.
Well, I think this is something that you and I have been discussing for weeks, is that ASBA's language is very foggy and no clarity and very convoluted.
It's
really aggravating because there's not definitive answer to
anything.
And it's
also not the easiest. Yeah, you can look at the main page and try to, okay, there, they tell
you. I've seen it happen over and over.
They tell you where it is. But now you got to page through and find it, and it take. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Well, now you can read between the lines, and it's nothing clear cut, and it's really not helpful to anybody. It causes a lot of kind of dissension because you can't. You can read between the lines, or it's not clear. There's no.
Well,
clarity.
I think they do that to also kind of cover themselves.
Well, help the people themselves.
Right? No, it doesn't. This handout from the trust actually dealt with a bunch of questions that people had, so it's kind of like the frequently asked questions. And we could table it. I mean, the only reason I brought it was because if you want to stay with ASBA, it's better to just sign on and stay with ASBA because you get a month free.
Well, I don't really feel that we have to do that.
I'm not. I will tell you this. They have turned over their entire policy, all of the people in the policy, mm-hmm. and it's not a very impressive group from when I've tried to get a hold of them or ask questions.
Do they provide somebody to come over here to the board meetings and explain new law?
If you wanted to pay the legal part, you could either have your attorney. You'd be better off having your attorney just Skype or Zoom in and they'll send you the stuff and you can call them. They have at least three or four attorneys full time. One of them is the McClellan. She was the attorney of the year with ASBA this last year. And she'd been working on their policies for years, and a couple of other very experienced school of law attorneys. So, I mean, I'm just saying,
if we did,
it's a lot of money to be given to ASB when you've got a competitive company, but we've not, I mean, I've seen, and Donna's seen, when they do their presentations, okay, We've seen that and what they're doing, but I haven't seen a manual from them.
Well, how do we break up with the SBA anyway?
Sometimes it's like pulling that Band-Aid off.
It's hard to do. You know? It's easier.
I know the head of the policy department. I'm
disillusioned with them entirely.
But it's the same policy, same everything, only it will be like a different...
It's going to cover everything that you need to have a policy on, but it's going to be lined up differently. It's going to be numbered.
I think that it's confusing for a reason, really.
Yeah, well, I agree. Yeah. I never liked the elbow.
I'm ready to make it. If you guys want to...
I'm in favor for the trust. What do you guys think?
I like the trust, but I'm kind of iffy. I don't know.
It's new.
It's new.
I don't think it's hard to go with something, but it really kind of has not been very successful in a lot of ways, as far as, clarity and backup. They haven't done it correctly at all. So.
You want to make a motion?
I know.
She doesn't like them, but don't want her name on.
I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the school policy group, the Trust Alliance, that's what it's called.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. Aye. Second.
Aye. I'm motioning. Don second.
Don second. Okay. 3-0. Okay.
Yay. Let's see how we're doing. 7:15 on it.
All right. I guess that's it for action items, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So a lot of these things would have been in the superintendent report, but since we spent the last 2 hours going through it, you guys already know most of it. We've talked about all of the different stuff that Kristen's been working on with SFB and all of our other grants. So I guess the biggest thing to me, for you guys, and Don has really already touched on it, I believe the probably most important hire that you make, because people always say it's the superintendent, but I really truly believe it's making sure your business office is solid. And I would like to ask the board if we could have a couple of members sit in on the interviews. And I know how busy you are, Mr. Olmos, but if Don and Brisa were able to find time to sit in on the interviews, and we'll put together a team of about 4 people. And right now we have 3 or 4 people. The other thing, I was contacted today by Jackie Clay, and they are hiring a new person coming directly from schools. Almost all of their applicants are all business managers right now for the county. And she wanted to know if we might be interested in looking at signing some kind of an IGA with her for a couple of days a week with the new person they bring in. And
I said, be a green person?
No, it'll be not at the county, but they've been a school. The people they're interviewing have all been county or school business managers.
So they know school finance.
Yes. And they'll actually be replacing Debbie Butterworth.
Pro.
I know, I can't.
Debbie Pro?
I want to say Debbie Butterworth or no. Debbie Butterfield.
Oh, better.
Debbie Butterworth.
Is it Butterworth?
Yes, it is. Like the syrup.
Okay.
I said, well, I think that we would be open to listening, but we have 3 people to interview, and I think we should interview the people that we have first. And then if there's somebody that pops for you guys, and you say, you know what, I think this person's would be a great fit for us, maybe that's how you go. I will tell you that the auditor told me that if he were working, he felt he could work a week or 7 days and probably take care of many of the things that we need to have.
Now, who's that?
Well, Bill Dolbridge, but he's an auditor. He wouldn't. But he just felt like there were, if you got a person and they had a system and, it was organized, that they could maybe do that. So that's why I said, when Jackie got a hold of me, it was like, well, maybe 2 days a week. Maybe 2 days a week is enough.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think since we've got the people that have applied to us, I believe we should look at them and anybody that's qualified. Now, I do want to tell you that we did get a couple people And their understanding of what we were looking for was someone that would run copies for Miss Elias. All right, that's not what we're looking for, okay? Because they said, we know how to run a copy machine, and, you know, we can answer the phones, and, you know, and it's like, okay, that's great, but that is not what we were looking for.
No.
So I would ask that the board set that, and what we would do is put a notice that we will post the dates of the interviews on our website, and that will inform the public, and I'll also post it here, and I can even post it down at the post office so that people know that we will have a quorum at the interviews.
Mm-hmm. With a designated detail that doesn't involve discussion of anything other than doing
right, just the interview.
Right.
Yep, the interview and talk, you know, seeing if there's someone.
Do you
that
have the dates for the interview?
I wanted to wait till we were done.
Okay.
So, but I really would like to see about either this Thursday or next week. This week Thursday or next week.
Okay. Well, see how big
I think it's important to see because they're interviewing at the county next week. So we would have an idea by next week. Do you like one of the people? Will they fit and with what they would be asking for and looking for as far as are they looking for full-time? Are they looking for part-time? How much experience do they have? All of those things. You would know what we have.
The school finance. So are you? Does it have to be one of those days, but is there a particular, we need to find out what's better for Brisa?
Well, last time we did it, we just did them at 5 o'clock and later.
Oh, okay.
And that way the people, when they were working their jobs, they could still come over, and I know a couple of them are working. So if we did it after 5 o'clock, and then maybe what we can do is, you know, I'll go buy some food or something, try to find something. I'll buy dessert and maybe a
I'll be here.
So, but that would be my request. We're going to teacher interviews.
So for business, you want to be a part of it?
Yeah, I'll be part of it.
You're a subject matter expert anyway, so.
Oh, yeah.
You want to be a part of it?
Experiment. Are you talking about the
business, the business officers?
Yes.
That's
what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So I thought you were kind of indisposed.
No, if you guys want to be a part of it, that's good. I would like to be a part of the teaching staff, though.
And
how
so
can you want to play with the teachers but not the business office people?
Because I think the both of you are more
well,
SMEs
Mr. Macklin kind
me
of picked us already to do the business. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. Okay. You guys know the more
you're
about
all
the finance than I do.
No layoffs. So,
you know. Well, and here's what we have, okay? Just so you know, we have we might have 180 applicants, to tell you the truth. 160, some of which are from the Philippines. One from Pakistan or Indonesia.
Are you
Pakistan
kidding?
And then another one from Bahrain.
You're not kidding
Bahrain
at all?
No,
you're
I'm not kidding.
This isn't a joke.
And then I think there's five from there's five from Arizona or four, and then there's one from Washington, and I don't know if that's Washington D.C. or Washington, and I'm probably pointing the wrong direction, but you guys know what I'm talking about. So yeah, it's interesting. We have it posted on Indeed. We have them posted on the website. We put them in the paper. We're going to do that again. We do have one person that's interested in special ed. She is from Washington and has been a teacher. I don't remember how many years, came out of the military and worked special ed. So I think that would be interesting. So there's a lot of things we'll do. We'll do the teaching ones. We're probably going to end up doing most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Via Zoom, just, you know. And the thing about it is that you just have to be flexible, because when we're interviewing somebody from Bahrain or, you know, Indonesia or Pakistan or Thailand, they're, you know, when we're awake, it's 2 a.m. or whatever,
oh,
you know.
Right.
So the time change is different, so we do need to kind of watch that. But like when Miss Hendry came over, she was somewhere in the Middle East, did she leave? Or
yeah,
she was in the Middle East, and
Dubai.
we huh?
Wasn't it Dubai?
Yeah.
The UAE.
UAE or Dubai or something like that.
How many teaching positions are we opening?
Well, you had Miss Marton
Level
tonight, at level first grade. You have, we need to add a second grade teacher, okay, because we're going to have two second grades, so that'll be two. Okay. And then you, we need a third grade teacher, and that third grade class is going to have 26 kids, one class, full-time para.
So wait, third
it
grade
went
is
really
26?
Well. Montalvo did a great job this year, so
I think our limit is set at 21, but it's not solid.
Right.
But so what do you think about third grade having 26? Do you think
well,
that's not
we
too
have,
many to...
They're in second grade right now, and they're all together. We had 25. Actually, we had 24, and we gained one. It went to 25, and we gained another one. It said 26.
Okay.
It's gone really well.
So
it really depends on the teacher, but if you have a strong para with a good teacher, you can do that. It's... You know, if you split 26, the problem is when you get the flu, you end up with a group of seven and a group of six, and then do I teach or do I not teach? And
when they've been
so
together already, so they
have,
the
they had a good year. They really did.
Yeah.
I mean, and Miss Montalvo's, you know, very, she's like, you know, she's like your grandma. If you step out of line, you get in line. Let's go. This is how we do it. Boom. But, so we'll need another second grade, need a first grade, we'll need a third grade. We will need one fourth grade and one fifth grade.
One fourth.
That's five.
And because we're adding a fifth grade position and we're adding a second grade position. And then you have middle school social studies because Mr. Ronnie and then special ed.
So we need first, second,
so
third, fourth, and
fifth? So we're
adding
two teachers and we had five resigned.
Okay, so we need all of those levels from one to five.
Right. And I have talked to the co-op. They're helping, keeping their eyes open and ears open for special ed. She had some ideas if it became difficult to find somebody. We do have the one applicant from Washington. So I think there are some options out there.
Is it a man?
No. No, a lady.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we had that one. Never mind.
Yeah. No. I mean, her stuff looks good. It's just a different combination to, you know, I've seen the military translate into a regular classroom. Special ed is just such a different thing, you know, so, but it seems like she's taught on the military bases and things, so this would be a different experience.
Yeah.
Can't be any worse than, different than coming from Minnesota, right?
No, no, well, you're probably talking about like a teacher, was she in the military?
She was in the military.
Oh, okay.
Got her, when she got out, used her whatever that is where
yeah,
you get your
yeah.
Yeah.
And then got her degree, and then she went into special ed, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
So so that, and then the superintendent search, I've thrown this at you guys and you guys have different opinions, so you guys can hack it out, the deal with the superintendent search. If you want to do one and not use a search, we would have to set up a rubric and do all that kind of stuff, which could be done. And I certainly would help if you wanted me to help. Mm-hmm. That then, of course, puts the onus on you all that you are the entire process as far as you screen all applicants. You know, I could do background checks for you, or you can do the background check. But, I mean, basically, this would be your process. Mm-hmm. The other thing would be is if you want to say, you know, when people... as soon as you hire somebody and somebody doesn't like them, you just say, well, we went with a search. It's not my fault. You know, but I mean, so I've heard it both ways from you guys. You know, so I think that's for you guys to decide. But I can make phone calls to different search groups and find out what their costs would be and how quickly they would be willing to help you. The only thing I worry about is I've seen some of the search groups just make a lot of money off of people.
Well, I told you what happened.
Right, yes.
How much money we paid and how that went
down. Yeah, so I just, that's my only concern with the search group. You are able to post on the ASBA search group site without paying a penny if you are interested in going that route. And that would be where you put it all together. You have the application. You have information. Like, you know, Dawn told me about last time when she had to write like a, you know, 300-page essay on the geography and history and everything, you know. But you want a little bit of that information for applicants to look at and read. and then you want to have your preferred or your required items that you want, no matter what, anybody that applies better have this, and then the preferred. The thing about a search group is they automatically, they use AppliTrack, most of them. And AppliTrack, if you have 50 people that apply, but only 5 people have all of the required, those are the only 5 that you will look at. And then they'll look, and then you will look at the preferred. And so, like, maybe you have 2 or 3 things that you prefer, then they basically, it's kind of like a game. Oh, you have point A and we prefer that, you get a point for point A. You have point B, you get a point for point B. You have A and B, you get 2 points. You don't have any, you get 0, right? But you still are one of the 5. And that's how you, and then when you go with the preferential grading, and then you can look at that. That does not mean that you have to go and say, oh, well, these 3 are the 3 highest rated people by the preferential rating. But you want to do that because that shows that you had a very fair and open process. Mm-hmm. So you guys have to talk through it. The other thing I would recommend, and I know it's been a long night, is I would recommend if we could have a working session on Sunday, and that would allow you guys to talk about some of the stuff and just sit down and go through what, and then we could set it up so that at the next meeting we had, if you decide you want to go with a service, we have 2 or 3 services that we'll either present via Zoom or present in person to you. And I could make calls and find out the cost if that's the way you wanted to go. I think it'd be better to do that. And I don't know, I mean, unless you want to sit here for a while. It's not that, I mean, I thought it was going to be 8 o'clock, so we're still ahead of the game. But if you...
Some people have to drive farther.
I know. But if you would prefer to, if you know what way you want to, you would prefer right now, I can gather the information, or I can gather and bring it to the meeting and have that meeting on Sunday. The working session is no voting. Okay, we would sit here, and whatever, and the time you have it set, we'll post it, and we'll, you know, do our door and everything. We'll put that up. People can come, but then if you want to have a conversation, say, Brisa wants to have a conversation about job descriptions and whatever. If you let me know that, and then I make sure at our working session I can have as many of those things as possible. And if you want to get into that conversation, then you really would want to kind of close the meeting at that point, go into a closed session. Just because if somebody happens to say, well, what is Donna's job description? You know what I mean? And so there's no names. That would be a cautionary thing. But, I mean, those are 2 things that we could do, because I know that some of you would be interested in some of those things. So I'm just throwing it out to you guys and letting you guys decide.
But I think that I'm opposed to using ASPA. Like I told you, we paid, what was it, $2,500 for them to do the search. They narrowed it down from 12 to 6. I did background checks on them and found every one of them had charges pending for threats and intimidation, misuse of funds, couldn't keep attendance. One of them had a falsified superintendent's document that his mentally ill brother had sent from one state to another. He put him on a bus to have him send it there. And then when he sat down with Denise Baton, I said, well, here's all the papers about all the people you've highly recommended, which was all 6, one from Alaska, misuse of credit cards, couldn't keep attendance. I mean, he was dodging the bullets from up there. And I handed out the handouts, and they said, how did you find this stuff? And I said, I did a background check on my own, and you've checked all these people? Oh, yeah, we did a deep dive on all these. I'm like, well, check them all.
I think we should have that working session and work it all out as to, you know, how we want to post those positions. Because if we sit here, we're going to be here all night.
I think it would give you 5 days to kind of organize your thoughts and write some things down. And then we could come in and have some kind of a concrete meeting and have a plan.
And if you can have, like, the maybe like an estimate of pricing on the search for ASBA?
That's what I'll make the phone calls and find
because
out.
I'd rather go that route.
I'll call ASBA too, but executive search, there's like three other ones.
Well, so. And frankly, you know, Tim, you know that you and I have been talking a lot during this process, and I did not encourage Tim to resign at all. And in fact, we had discussions about that not happening, about moving forward. And I have to, I did not pressure you into that. He wanted to do that on his own. During the time of our discussions, this was something that he felt that was necessary for his life and his wife and his family. And so I, by no means, have I pressured you. Is that correct?
Nope.
Because
I mean,
could see
you know,
that your staff was, I was feeling the heat over here.
Oh, well,
and,
I have no idea. I thought they were all here to find out what they're if they were going to get extra pay or not. But that, I guess, as you and I have said, the only thing that happened was that somebody walked out of a meeting and
And this was not a witch hunt, and I'm sorry, you know, some people don't have the balls for it.
Yeah.
But it is something that we had to go through, and
it'll
it was
fine.
A communication.
So
you know.
Sunday, can we do Sunday at the work session?
Are you bumping me in my nose? Now go ahead. You guys decide what you want to do on Sunday.
No. Is Sunday evening okay?
Maybe.
That okay. Maybe. All right. Well, I usually leave at about 9 or 9:30. I try to get back here. I stop and get gas and grab something to eat. So it's usually 2:30 or 3 o'clock.
So give us a
I'd like at least an hour. Could we do it at about like? How about we say 4:30
on Sunday?
What time do you get here from Phoenix?
Well, that's why I'm giving myself a little extra time.
Well, why don't you think about it, and then why don't you email us when you have more...
Well, I just was thinking if we did 4:30, we could have a good hour to go through these different things. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you guys had your thoughts formulated and down, you know, we could exchange ideas and kind of come up with a plan as far as I'll call and I'll get prices. You can all look at them. You can't vote on anything in a work session anyway, so it's not like we would vote on this is what we're going to do, this is the search group we're going to go with, or
it's
any of that.
It's just a discussion.
Right, it's just basically it's a discussion, it's an informational discussion, so that you can have you probably have more going on Sunday night than the three of us.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It depends on what happens on the weekend for her probably.
Yeah.
But let's just call it tentative for 4:30.
Okay.
Movie.
Let's say 4:30 Sunday.
Sunday 4:30.
Okay. Sunday at 4:30. All right. And that way. Huh?
In the next meeting.
Okay.
Tentative.
I got to look at that.
You put here Tuesday, April 11th.
I won't be in town on the 11th.
April.
So that's the day after
the 18th.
What is our rules? Is it the first Wednesday? Or
usually we say, usually it's been the second Tuesday.
The second
it has
Tuesday.
Been. That's the 11th. So I am gone. I mean, I could do it on
the
phone.
Do the next
but,
week? Okay.
If here's the only thing, okay? We need to go through who you are going to renew and who you choose not to renew.
That's a good idea.
And that has to be done by the 15th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Oh,
so,
by the 15th.
Right, by the 15th. So here's my question. It is, do you want to meet on that Thursday if everybody were available? That's the
6th.
13th or 14th?
Okay, the 13th.
Are you talking about the 13th or 14th?
Right, isn't
14th
that's cutting
is Friday,
it kind of close.
13th
oh,
is Thursday.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm available the entire week of not spring break, but
or we could go.
We're not making decisions really.
Right, but at the regular meeting,
the regular meeting. So I'm available from April 4th. Is it a Monday?
No. Yes, no, 4th is the Tuesday.
So I'm available all that week.
And
April
3rd. Not available, right? You're not available.
I will be. Yes. How about if we did it that next Thursday? Would Thursday work for you, Don? Because I know you've been flexible, huh?
What day is that?
That
13th.
No, the week before that.
The week before that is the
6th.
Six.
I
can do the 6th.
I just don't have a calendar.
I can do the 6th.
April 6th.
Okay, that'll work.
April 6th. Okay.
April 6th.
April 6th, 5:15 is the next regular meeting,
mm-hmm.
which means we will not schedule interviews at that time.
Okay.
Okay. April
6th?
No, what's Sunday?
Second?
April 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Is a work session.
April 2nd is a work session.
At 4:30. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then...
April 2nd at 4:30?
We will get the interview set up, and we'll post it on the website and the school door and post
office. At 4:30, Sunday. Okay. All right.
It will not be before Thursday this week, and my guess would be more likely next week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
So we have a board meeting next week.
That's what happens when it goes to the end of the month, you know. So, well, and honestly, that's going to be probably a short meeting, but it's going to be, unless Donna puts too much on there, but yes, short, but we absolutely have to have that done by the 15th, so it would be better to do it that way than
Let me adjourn so that
I'm sorry.
So now that we have those dates down, I would like to adjourn this meeting. Time now is 19:36.
No.
Also known as 7:36.
Nobody ever doesn't know it at this point. Okay, so almost made the motion.
Walker seconds, 7:36, adjournment.
Aye.
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 3-0.
Here's 3-0.
Okay.